Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. Seconds after we just witnessed one of the most ridiculous things, we are in disbelief. We did not expect to start the post-game podcast this way without words, really. I'm just trying my best to verbalize something, and I'm doing my best to stay calm, because before we hit record and before we logged on, I was screaming, and my wife was like, "What the hell is going on? Why are you so angry?" And I was trying to explain to her, we got robbed with the Messiah in a shocking scene that none of us can explain. None of us have seen before. Real Madrid should have won this game 3-2 in the most epic and classic Real Madrid fashion possible, through a Jude Bellingham game winner and an epic remontada in the rain against that crowd in that stadium. And we were robbed in inexplicable fashion. I don't know what happened. I don't know who got the red card. Wow. Where do we, like, how do we even make sense of this? Matt, start with you.
We don't make sense of this. I've never, ever, ever seen anything like that before in my life, ever. Like, I was screaming at the TV. I was literally screaming at the TV. I couldn't believe, I'm still livid. I'm shocked. I'm almost speechless. Like, this was, like, let's go on to think, if we were to somehow lose the league by one point, like, this would be the moment. This would be the play. I'm at a loss for words. And I was telling you guys right before we went live that, like, just the smugness in the referee's face after he blew that whistle, and the confidence, and he's shaking his head, like, that pissed me off even more. Like, how? I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, even a Valencia player admitted it. Like, it was that bad. Hugo Duro just came out and said, you should blow it before the cross or after. I don't know why you would wait till he's right about to play the cross. Like, why would you wait? Alvaro Negreira, what have you done to this damn league? Oh my God, like, this is such a rigged league. I mean, it's not rigged, but this is stupid. This is why, like, Laporta's comments are stupid. I'm furious. I've never been this upset. I mean, like, I think I've been upset before, but this is, like, almost surreal. Like, it feels like a dream. Like, did he just blow the whistle when we scored the winner? I mean, that's just my emotional reaction, but God damn it. This is, Alvaro Negreira's fingerprints are all over this.
I'm at a loss for words. I didn't expect us to be having this conversation right now. Like, I don't even really know how to talk about the rest of the game after that ending. I really don't. I had so many notes on this game. All the things that went wrong tactically in the first half, the mental battle, the physical battle. Before the game started, we did a pregame show. Me, Mehedi, and Lucas. Lucas is at the Messiah right now. I'd love to have him on the show right now, actually, to talk to him and see what the reaction is, press row, and he's about to head to Ancelotti's press conference right now. But they were telling me, like, oh, it's great. Gil Manzano has been appointed for this game. This is great news. I mean, they didn't. I'm exaggerating. They weren't that optimistic or happy about it. But they were telling me, like, this guy is, like, the most competent referee. And I was like, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not good at keeping track of referees and putting the name to the face and remembering which referee is who. I'll take your word for it. To me, they all suck, but I'll take your word for it. But if you're wrong on this, I'm coming back to this point that you guys made. I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. This should have been one of those games we look back like in the summertime. Like, hey, remember the epic Jude Bellingham game winner and Vinicius scoring two goals and sticking it to the Valencia crowd? That's what we should have been talking about.
You're 100% right. And I think there's two other things too about this moment at the end of the game. One, first, he calls that ridiculous penalty call that everyone knew was not a penalty. And that should have added at least three more minutes to extra time. I think we got cut off there. And then two, I see some people saying that, oh, you know what? He blew his whistle when we made the cross. So who knows what would have happened? And it was neutral. That's not the point. The point here is that anybody who's ever played football before and knows the rules of the game is that the referee is supposed to blow their whistle when it's like not a moment where you're either transition counterattacking, you're up the field, you have a chance to take a shot on goal. Like, that's why you always see games end on like a throw in, a corner kick, free kick, or the ball's in the other opposition's half of the team that's losing or whatever it may be. You've never, ever, ever see referees always let the play finish before calling the final whistle. Why he did that is beyond me. Like, I just can't figure it out. It's basic refereeing.
Too many tweeting right now. That's embarrassing. I kind of tuned out. Like, there was a lot going on the field after. Like, they stormed the pitch. Everyone was furious. I still don't know who got the red card. Do you guys know who got the red card?
Is it confirmed that anyone got a red card?
I don't know. I just saw a red card flying. It was on the screen. So
Rudiger, if not both. Let me check.
If not both, could you imagine if after that, insult to injury, Bellingham and Rudiger red card?
Right, let's just look it up on Google.
There's no way. Like, I just, for some reason, I thought it was Bellingham. Maybe Bellingham got a red card?
For telling the referee the truth, probably? This is crazy.
I mean, if I was Bellingham too, I would have gotten a red card in that moment too. You just scored a 97th minute winner, and the ref calls it off at that moment.
I would gladly, like, whatever fine that Ancelotti has to pay tonight for talking all the shit, I'll pay for it. I don't have the money to pay for it. I'll start GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
Take the biggest fine you want today. That's embarrassing. There's no way that Bellingham red card should stand. I mean, I don't even know what he could have said to get a straight red. Again, I'm at a loss for words. Wow. I don't know, guys. Like, I really don't even know how to talk about the rest of the game after that.
Great comeback. I honestly thought the resilience was phenomenal. And I think, fine, I will say this. You could feel it in the air. The fact, like, it's so weird to get robbed of something that's so inevitable. Like, and I'm just proud that we actually were going to come back at such a difficult stadium, 2-0 down. Don't let that take away from, like it wasn't a great performance when we went down 2-0, but we fought. We clawed back. No, Matt, I know you didn't think Mendy should have been taken off, but Fran was solid once he came on. Like, did nothing wrong. Everyone did what they had to do. I mean, hey, that wasn't a penalty.
I don't know that Fran was solid. I mean, I didn't think he really did anything except Lunin gave him a pass 90-whatever minute, and he was – you could tell he was scared out of his mind, played it right back to Lunin, and he's like, why are you giving me this ball back and hit it up the field? Like, that's the only thing I remember from Fran's performance.
I didn't think it was terrible in that. I just feel like he takes initiative, but I guess he didn't contribute on his own individually. Fine, I agree there. I just felt like the team felt unusually composed and solid from 2-0 down. Like, we might have given up. Lunin did make a phenomenal save, no doubt, and but we didn't get too rushed. We didn't, like, start going long. Kept doing our thing, 2-2. And after 2-2, you felt the 3-2 in the air. So, you know, got to take some positives away. One, I mean, another positive is I feel like this was one of the hardest remaining games. Like, we had five remaining games that were kind of tricky. This was one of them at the Mestalla, one of the hardest. And all our rivals have tougher schedules. In fact, I don't even think I'm not sure if they've played Valencia yet. Let me see. I know Atleti, Girona, and Barca haven't played each other. Okay, Atleti have played Valencia already, but Barcelona, I believe, still have to go here. So,
I'll say this, Sid. I think that second half was encouraging because I feel like the last few games, maybe since Girona, how many games have we had? Like, we really haven't looked that great. We've been scrapping by, and I feel like the week's rest has actually been a detriment to us rather than helping us. Maybe we need the midweek games to help us have better rhythm, because it just feels like the team's slow to get going. And that second half will be encouraging. We did get it going. I think the goal from Vinny right before halftime was crucial. We had to get that to like get the belief and just feel like, okay, we can turn this around. So that early goal was crucial. And I think that helped to get the team going and get us moving in the right direction. And so from that standpoint, it was encouraging, but it has been a few games now where we haven't looked great. And that first half was just awful. Like, it felt like we were trying to, like, the Mestalla was amped up. Everybody knew it was going to be a big game. Like, this was like the match for them. They had circled on the calendar from the start of the season. And it felt like we were trying to play it. We were trying to play it down and play through it, but we were almost too lackadaisical and too like, oh, we can settle them down. And instead of using that crowd and that energy to kind of spur us on and get us into that intensity in that moment. But I do think we got to credit Valencia. Like, I think they played really well. All things being said, like, I don't like a lot of their players, particularly Hugo Duro's become one of the most like disliked players in La Liga.
Ultimate villain after starting his career with Castilla.
Yeah. He's just been known as that type of guy throughout La Liga over the last few years. I don't like a lot of them, but I have to be fair in my analysis and say they played really well, and I thought their pressing was really, really, really good.
After I saw the robbery at the end, I started to really kind of soften up my harshness towards the team performance. Like, we were really, really robbed tonight. And at 2-0 down, like, I actually felt like we could come back despite not playing well. I don't think this was a good performance or a masterclass performance or anything of that sort. But I do think it was a bit of a heroic performance. When you're down 2-0 and the stadium's just rocking and it's wild in there and you have the history of this stadium and it is a bit of a mental battle. Plus, like you said, Matt, Valencia are playing well. They're pressing us. We're making mistakes. They're very compact. They hedge into a mid block when they're not pressing high. It was hard for us to break lines. We didn't create any clear-cut chances early on. And even despite that 2-0 down, I felt like we could turn it around, and we did. We were doing the right things, I thought. Now, like, we could have done a way better. Like, I'm still not in the right mind frame to talk about the tactical deficiencies of what we were doing wrong yet. I'm still not over what happened at the end. Again, we should be celebrating. Like, this is brutal. We should be celebrating an epic Bellingham game winner, and we're not. And look, I'm sure we'll get Ancelotti's quotes pretty quickly if we haven't already. I'll check. But I thought it was a heroic comeback. I thought our response was very good. Vinicius struggled at times against Fulquier, but he also showed up and worked his ass off. He scored two goals. That play towards the end where he caught up to Peter was insane. Peter, who, by the way, Peter, when I saw him come on, I was like, oh, shit. Genius of Baraja to put on every single possible ex-Real Madrid player, because we know how that story goes. But Peter, fresh legs, had just come on. Young, nimble, fast player. Towards the end, I think let me see what minute it was. I have it written down. I missed that, actually putting the minute mark on it. But it was one of the final minutes of the game. Peter gets the ball in transition. He's running up the field. Vinicius, who's been playing all game and running all game on the wing, he's way behind the play. He sprints and catches up to Peter. Valencia actually do nearly score, but it was kind of a lucky bounce and Vinicius didn't get it. But the defensive effort was amazing. Where was I going with this? Yeah, Vinicius' performance. It wasn't his best game, but it was, to me, a big balls game in that despite not having any space, despite struggling a little bit to get past Fulquier, who was defending him well, he still popped up for two goals. He still worked his ass off. And Bellingham, his first game back, it wasn't his best game either. We can excuse him for that, but still had moments of magic in tight spaces, especially in that left half space. Had that gorgeous move where he cooks his defender and Mamardashvili makes an amazing save. He scores the game winner. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about those heroic moments. And again, I still haven't seen anything like that. I've seen the referee blow whistles like further back when there is a chance for a transition opportunity or immediately after a corner is taken. But to do it in that way, it was almost as if we were fighting against a buzzer beater. We had to like score before the referee blew the whistle. He waited until basically we had the clear-cut chance to blow the whistle. I've never seen anything like it. This is classic. Like I feel right now the way I felt when Didier Drogba went to the camera after Barca and he was like, this is a fucking disgrace. I felt that way. I even posted the GIF on Twitter because that was my immediate reaction to the whole scenario. Couldn't believe it. Crazy.
I agree with you on Vinny's performance. Like, I think it shows massive character to play the way, like, he didn't play that great. Like you said, I don't think he played particularly well, but he came up big in two big moments and was in the right spots and got those goals. And we know what this game meant to him. We know he was booed every time he touched the ball. And yet which is not always the case with Vinny, obviously, we know, he was able to keep his composure and his temperament tonight. And I think that was really important. And whenever he does that, if he can stay focused, if he can keep his temperament right, if he can just be engaged with the game rather than the opposition coach, the fans, whatever, the referee, when he's focused, that's when he, even if he's not having the best game, he'll have big moments and he'll make the difference and he'll be that player we need him to be. And so from that perspective, this was a mature moment from Vinny and I think really, really important.
Brahim was great, I thought, off the bench. Like, did what he had to do. Took some good touches. Better than Rodrigo, I thought, in the time Rodrigo played. Not to make it a debate. I know people hate that. I'm not really trying to pit him against
each other. Here you go, Sid. Here you go again.
Hey, I will caveat. If Brahim started and Rodrigo came off the bench, it might be easier for Rodrigo. Coming off the bench is a different ballgame. I admit that. But you can see in Mark's stats, Brahim added more on-ball value or whatever in the limited minutes than Rodrigo in his 60. But, I don't know if it's publicity for sponsor, UNICEF, or they have the power and no one else has a chance. Inside, they're laughing and enjoying this. And I don't know if it's UNICEF. It's a disgrace, man. Like, it's a fucking disgrace.
I really don't want to talk about them. But, like, if they ever open their mouth again about anything, man, they have no shame. They already don't have shame. But after this, man, there's really, like, I'm livid, man. I'm honestly livid. I can't. It's hard for me to talk about the rest of the game. I think you guys brought up the Hugo Duro quote after the game, but here it is. He says, "We don't know why it takes so long to whistle. The referee should have let Brahim have it. Or sorry, let Brahim get it, and he doesn't whistle. I understand where the Real Madrid players are coming from. I don't think, and we've seen Tchouameni's quote, Vinny." Tweets out a laughing emoji after the game. And the rest here, Ruben Baraja says, "I saw it clearly. I saw how the referee whistled before he crossed it. He also gave 5 calls in the first half. He also gave 5 minutes in the first half injury time, and Madrid scored against us in stoppage time. The referee decided like that, and there is not much more to say." Okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to translate these on the fly as well as I see them, so it's a little bit tricky. But any other further quotes, we'll bring them. What do you guys want to move to some super chats? All right. First, before we do that, let's take a minute and give out the Manscaped Man of the Match. And we're going to do it with some fancy new gimmicks. Here we go. Some music. Not only did we get rid of the duck logo, but we've upgraded. We have a Managing Madrid logo in the top right corner. We have a little ticker at the bottom that can say whatever we want it to say. We got some nice soothing music. And we're taking a break to give out the Manscaped Man of the Match Award. which goes out every single game after the game on the podcast, to the player who manscaped the most before the game and therefore had the best performance on the pitch. Matt Wiltsy, who is tonight's Manscaped Man of the Match?
It's got to go to Vinicius Jr. with two big goals. I said it was a coming of age moment, a maturity game for him, and I think he's got to earn it tonight.
Listeners, if you want to perform like Vinicius Jr., you need to get your hands on Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Use code MANAGINGMADRID for 20% off and free shipping. They got everything from deodorant, lip balm, groomers, LED with LED lights, waterproof. It's the greatest stuff. Everyone on staff has Manscaped, and you should too. Manscaped.com. Use code MANAGINGMADRID for 20% off and free shipping. That's manscaped.com. Use code MANAGINGMADRID for 20% off and free shipping.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
All right, back to the game. We are going to read some super chats. And we're a little bit behind on these, sorry, but we're going to try our best here. We're going to work chronologically. Noor Hamdard says, Key on the chat is exploding. Hurry up. Sorry, this was before. We did our best. I did give you guys a warning. We are working during the game, so we can't log on right. And the game also ended late, so we weren't here on time. And also, we were busy swearing at the TV in the process. Nicole Gant just tossing us a couple bucks. Thank you, Nicole. Hope you're holding it down in Long Beach. And hopefully we'll see you in LA soon again. Mr. Sushi says, you guys remember what got Turkish football suspended and Greek football too. Enough said. And like I said, I'm totally okay with Ancelotti getting suspended or getting fined. And if he did, it would just show the league's cards even more. Nishlish Patil says, my therapist terminated my therapy with two thumbs up recently and now this. Listen. We're your therapist, okay? We're the therapy session. Win or lose, we're here for you. Your therapist is not. Omid Rezai says, literally anyone would get that red card there. Mother Teresa would tell the ref to go F himself there. I still can't believe. I want to know what Bellingham actually said to the referee. It couldn't, like, whatever it was, he was justified in saying it. There's no line that he probably crossed for me. He probably didn't cross the line. For me, I would have probably gotten a black card. Whatever a black card is. In the future, they brought the blue card. They'll bring the black card at one day too, which is worse than the red card.
I think the other thing about all this is like the legitimacy of La Liga. It continues to erode. Like any, just the reputational value of the league continues to erode. Like no one trusts the referees. And this is just another thing that adds to that.
Yeah. I can explain what went through his mind. So basically when the corner finished, when they took the corner and they took it short, I think it was called the last kick. He announced the last kick 5 seconds before the cross. So technically like we're right to be frustrated, but like, if you actually, I just looked at the rules too. The referee has full discretion and when he wants to end the game, it's not as tightly specified.
Yes, he does, but it's kind of like, it's an unwritten, like, when do you, it's just known within the game that you let plays finish out. Like yeah. Anytime a team's attacking, you let them finish out. It's just an unknown rule.
No, it is. The problem is the 5 seconds before he called the whistle, he already said last kick. So the idea was he was supposed to blow it 5 seconds before. And so apparently,
how can you say last kick on a cross?
I wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. But technically you can. And he said last kick. And so by the time Brahim got the ball, like I guess it was supposed to be blown. And the Valencia captain, someone told me on Twitter, was pretty much screaming at the referee when Brahim was with the ball, those 5 seconds, screaming, saying, "What are you doing?" So the idea is that if he didn't blow it, that it's possible Valencia would have been equally upset. But again, I don't think I would have called last kick in the first place. And also, it's such an ADHD thing to do, to call last kick and wait 5 seconds before the ball gets played in. Like, come on, man. You got to be locked in. Like, if he was decisive, I don't think we would have complained. I would have at least been like, fine, like, whatever. Like, the time did run out enough where I wouldn't have – nobody would be pissed like this, at least. And but once he called it, he made his bet because Brahim was going to put that cross in. Or if he called it and at least blew the whistle, like, before the cross, like, maybe it would have been, like, fine. Like, it was just a cross. But it's just a mess up. And I don't think I've seen a ref call a last kick and then, like, blank. Like, where was his mind? Was he, like, what was he doing? Was he zapped by some, like, remote energy weapon? What was going on?
I've seen the final whistle blown, like, after a corner kick is cleared, right? Like, that's – I've seen that before. But
which is
this
fair.
Was
it's fine. Yeah.
This was the clearance happened. We get position, we get possession, and then we play the ball down the wing. And Brahim gets the ball. It's still not the final whistle. Then he turns to cross, and then the final whistle is blown. Have we seen this before? I haven't.
Only last kick announced, and then he blows it. If like it's still a corner or cross, then they've got called games when they've said it, but not like in this live action as it's happening.
Not like this. And this was almost like akin to watching an NBA buzzer beater where you don't get the winner off in time. That's what it was. It was that developed in the play. What minute was it? Do you remember? Do you remember the minute? Again, I'm sorry, guys. I totally, like, after that, I just blacked out and I lost a lot of memory. Was it like 99, 100? Keep in mind, so when they announced 97, like, so 7 minutes injury time.
Wasn't it 98? Like, one more?
Okay, so in that case.
It still wasn't long enough.
It wasn't long enough. That's my point. Because.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier, yeah.
Yeah, so because they gave 7 minutes of injury time, the first 3 minutes of that were reviewing the
VAR,
the penalty.
Which was another atrocious call.
Yeah, so they didn't even make up the time for that 3 minutes wasted. The first 3 minutes, they were reviewing the penalty. It should have been at least 100 minutes, is my point. So regardless of the timing of the final whistle, he should have done it sooner. It actually, that wasn't enough injury time, is my point to begin with. All right. Oh, sorry, we didn't read this one. Well, we answered it, but we didn't read it. Paragon says, can we explain what went through Manzano's mind? Do you guys think it's what he did at the end of the first half? That's the other side of the argument I've seen. We answered it, I think. Shay Khatiri. Oh, sorry, we missed one. I'll come back to you, Shay. Proof says, I find it hard to focus on what you guys are saying, and I'm actually enraged by this shit. I'll listen tomorrow morning. Thanks for your work, guys. Listen, I don't blame you. I don't even know what I've said so far. Shay Khatiri says, are we still going to say the videos are a bad look, or maybe he was avenging referees by screwing us over? Also, thoughts on not starting Rodrigo? I don't know, Shay. Do you mean to say we shouldn't have started Rodrigo? The Reamter TV videos, I've said this before. I still don't love that we do that, but what I do like about it is that it makes our job easier when we need like quick compilations of all the bullshit that's gone against us. You can just dig up one of the Reamter TV videos and show your friends who are like, this league is corrupt, Reamter are corrupt. I like that we just can, by a click of a finger, just have like documented evidence that goes back years of all the shit we've had to endure. Matt, I think you were saying a few months ago, at some point during this season, and obviously this is like months after we've known about the Negreira case, where you and I were talking about like how just referees are bad and incompetent and not necessarily corrupt. And I think there were, correct me if I'm wrong, but like something shifted for you at some point, especially after the Negreira stuff, where you're like, this is maybe more than incompetency. How do you feel about this now? Does this confirm that?
Yeah, I mean, pre-Negreira, I was just kind of the belief, like, they're terrible, but it is what it is. Yeah. Like, they're terrible for everyone, and it's just, like, the Spanish media just blows it up out of proportion. But after the revelation of the Negreira case, I completely shifted my stance, and I was shocked. Like, and I again, I think it really hurts the legitimacy of the Spanish league and the reputation and everything surrounding it. It's terrible for the league. And I just, it's, yeah, I, this is just, this is only continuing that spiral.
Gil Manzano apparently was also gave 3 penalties against us in the same game.
Same guy.
Well, this is that Valencia. Guy. That was against Valencia,
same,
right?
It's the same dude. Yeah. Same dude.
Oh my God.
But that's why I was so surprised when Lucas and Mehedi were telling me this before the game. Like, this guy is a good one. And I was like, so what other games has he done? And he's like, he's the one who gave the 3 penalties against us in Mestalla. I was like, so what are you talking about? But apparently he's one of the good ones.
And, you know, I would be open to starting Brahim some games. And I'm open completely. He's on merit. I think if you look at mathematically how many decisive actions per minute of play this season, it's not really like Brahim's that far behind Rodrigo. If you look at like clusters of when they've been contributing, again, not that big a difference. So I would consider Brahim starting Rodrigo off the bench for him. I thought today it was okay from Rodrigo. It wasn't terrible, but like it was a crazy high press. And like, you know, he's supposed to rip through it. Otherwise, he's going to partly get some of the criticism. And Vinny was great. I thought Jude was great. I thought Brahim was great. And I don't think Rodrigo will not start because Brahim has that dynamic that Rodrigo once had where he's just that bench guy. And Carlos seems to like his bench guys. He seems to, it's like an archetype almost. And when you're confident in those situations repeatedly, maybe you want to let them keep coming on because you only have 30 minutes to play. It's a different mindset. It's a different gear. What do you guys think about Rodrigo?
So I'm a big Rodrigo believer. And so I'm not there yet on the, I just think Ancelotti feels at the end of the day, Rodrigo is a better player than Brahim. Like, I think that's just at the end of the day, I think that, and that's the truth. Whether or not he's showing that right now and whether or not he goes through these poor runs of form, like those things are all true. And maybe from a consistency standpoint, Brahim's definitely been more consistent. But at the end of the day, who's the better player? For me, it's Rodrigo. And I think that's why Ancelotti continues to select him, continues to trust him. And he knows that if he comes good, he'll benefit. And I think part of the problem with Rodrigo the last few games is this shift in system. We've gone back to a 4-3-3. He's been played as a striker while Jude's been out. And when Jude's back, he's playing as the right winger. I thought he was finally kind of getting into a groove as one of the two strikers. So I don't know if I'm a huge proponent of the new system change to 4-3-3 again. I don't think we played that great aside from the Girona match.
That's my stance too. I think Rodrigo is a better player with a higher ceiling, but I also think it's true that Brahim is performing better. I think both of those things are true. To get and to somehow swing this back to tactics and stuff today. I mean, it was really, is Wes going to be on YouTube? What's up, Wes? Hey, buddy. Cutest Madridista around right there. So just going back to the tactics for a sec. You looked at some of our problems today and we weren't creating clear-cut chances, right? Part of that was because we couldn't escape pressure. We were making mistakes. We haven't even spoken about the mistakes at the back and the 2 goals we conceded. But we couldn't escape pressure. We couldn't break lines consistently. I don't think we got enough of Fede Valverde driving the ball forward because that helps a lot. Camavinga was getting in between the lines but wasn't able to really break through that much other than be an outlet and distribute a bit. The two good clear-cut, and they weren't that clear-cut, clear-cut chances that we got in the first half, apart from the goal, was Bellingham getting into the left half space. He got, I think the first pass was from Cruz, and the second one was from Vinny, the Trivella. In both of those instances, he gets into this position where it's a tight angle and no one else is in the box with him. And the moment we score before halftime, it was a situation where we actually solved that in that we had 4 players in the box and we were able to drag defenders away a little bit and create space. That's why I was surprised it took so long for Joselu to come in this game. Matt, I think you also noted on Twitter that this was a Joselu game. And it's actually interesting to reflect on how many times we've said that at halftime during games this season. like, oh, this is a Hozu game because we don't have the presence in the box. And you don't always need that kind of presence in the box, especially if you're playing in transition, the game is open. But in most of these cases in La Liga, teams are not allowing the transition open game. They're flooding the box. There were a couple times in the second half I noted, and in the first half, but the second half I thought it was more noticeable. We get like Carvajal has the ball. There's an opportunity to hit a diagonal cross into the box. And he looks up and he doesn't because it's just Rodrigo surrounded by seven players. But I think he would have hit the cross if it was Joselu, because Joselu is a different kind of beast in that situation. So just something that I noted. I was surprised it took so long for Joselu to come in the game. And I blacked out. I was so angry at the end. I'd have to look at it again. But I assume that despite Joselu not scoring the header and Bellingham, I'm sure Joselu's gravity helped create space for Bellingham in that situation too.
Sid, what do you think of the system change?
So it's weird for me in that, like, the Girona game, I thought it was great. And honestly, like, I guess we were more of a narrow diamond against Barca. Huh? I think it partly depends on how a team defends us, I guess. Like, I like the idea of the three forwards interchanging in a 4-3-3. Because, you know, we saw moments against Girona where they'd all just end up off their usual starting positions and still dominating. I like that. I like it when Jude goes to the left, plays it to Vinny. Or if, I guess, Jude and Vinny don't end up on the right as often, and that's the problem. I guess that's the problem here, because it's always Rodrigo carrying that width on the right. I think it's a good system in terms of rotation. I guess you got to go back to more of a diamond and have Carvajal or Fede playing a little higher up and allowing Rodrigo and Jude to play in more narrow roles. That would probably be more effective. It's just like in transition, you're not always going to have your right center mid and right back. They're not always going to make it up. Sometimes it just needs to be your right winger or your guy who might be slated to come cut inside more. He's just going to have to carry the ball. And I think as teams see the system play out, it's possible that they're just not letting Rodrigo, or they're making things tougher for Rodrigo, maybe not letting him like dominate from wide areas. It's hard for me to say, because in principle, I actually think it should work like with interchanging movements. It just doesn't work if Rodrigo has to pin. Someone else has to pin the right side for him. And we didn't get enough of that today.
Let's move on. Nishlush Patel says, can we make Managing Madrid an official La Liga support group? You got it. But you don't need it to have it official, Nishlush. You're already part of it. I can see you're a member. You get access to the live calls. You access to the Zoom calls. You're part of the tribe. If you want to be part of the tribe, you can become a member by hitting the memberships tab on YouTube or going to patreon.com/managingmadrid. Alex Stein says, is there a chance the red card can be taken away? I'm sure they'll appeal it. Would I get my hopes up about getting it rescinded? Personally, no.
Not in this league.
We have to kind of find out what it was that Bellingham said as well. But again, like I said earlier, whatever he said is completely justified. And I don't know what he said, but whatever he said was completely justified. I just realized we kind of stopped tracking to see what was said after the game by the coaches, players, etc. So I'm going to do a little bit of a quick catch up now.
Bellingham said it's a fucking goal. That's it. He said it's a fucking goal.
According to Ancelotti, Bellingham said, quote, it's a fucking goal. Wow. Oh, my God. The audacity.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Jeez. According to Fabrizio Romano, who had sources, apparently, the full quote was, quote, it's a fucking goal. The ball is in the air. What the fuck is that? End quote. Wow. Either way. I honestly don't know what to say. All right, let's go back to some super chats and I'll see if Ancelotti has spoken yet. He obviously has, but I haven't looked at the full quotes. Sheikh Atiri, just a couple extra bucks. Thank you so much, Sheikh. You're the man. Chibwezi DK says, it's a disgrace. A travesty, bro, should count his days. Gold Fox, the referee should have given us more than the 130 anyways. Yeah, this super chat, I mean, we're really behind, but I think we mentioned this too. Like, there should have been 10 minutes added minimum. Given the fact that they wasted 3 minutes reviewing the non-existent penalty in extra time. Samuel Reed says, Real Madrid TV justified. How do you see Real Madrid's response? Guns blazing. They're right now, they're low, they're putting bullets in the shotgun right now. They're gonna come back with a crazy video. Omid Rezai says, whistle aside, not to give a yellow instead of a red for dissent under these conditions makes the ref even more of an idiot. Just rules enforced blindly. Yeah, that's also, I mean, a good point. A straight red? I mean, I'm honestly not, I shouldn't be on this podcast. I really, like, I feel like I'm just too emotional right now. I really felt that was a, again, we've never seen it, and there should have been 10 minutes added minimum. There's no way that whistle should have been blown. All right. If you guys want to jump in at any point, we're really behind on super chats, but we can get through it.
Thankfully, it's just one red card. You know, Rudiger being sent off too, that would have been bad, but it's only one. I don't know where that info came from, or if just someone just made it up, but only one red card.
Lucas tweeting away. Members of the Valencia press right now saying the referee's biggest mistake was not showing the Vinicius red card.
Oh my god. I got a hop, but people are saying in the comments that there's a club statement.
Yes, it was. They basically said Vinicius made it 2-2, and then the referee decided the game by blowing the whistle when the ball was in the air.
So that's what the statement said?
Yeah, that the referee decided the game by choosing to blow the whistle when the ball was in the air, and Bellingham scored the winner, basically. I don't know if they added the Bellingham part. Oh, no, Matt. But, yeah, I don't know if he – I don't think they added the Bellingham part, but, like, that's what I was going to say. I'm not too sure about our appeal. Like, they might just get more upset at us now.
So, Matt had to hop off. So, Sid, I'm just on the Managing Madrid Twitter account. So luckily, Heredium's tweeting out all the post-game quotes so I can just easily read them. So here are Ancelotti's post-game quotes. As always, if you go to the Managing Madrid Twitter account, they're posted right after the game. The post-game quotes are posted live. It's a great place to follow and get your latest up-to-date and accurate quotes. Ancelotti says, quote, what to say? There is not much to say. Something unprecedented has happened. I think the game had to end when Valencia had possession. Then Bellingham's red card bothered us because he didn't insult. Bellingham told him it's a fucking goal. He didn't insult him. We will see what the referee writes in the report. We have to continue. This is a difficult pitch. Even one point could be important at the end. The players are angry. We all have to calm down. We have an important game on Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Back to Super Chats. Nathan Herman says, I'm very shocked at Lunin's level. We can't lose him. Well, this is a great point. I mean, we should start mentioning things that actually happened in the game apart from the referee mistakes. But I don't know where we would be without Lunin. I thought he was fantastic. I mean, he had the one point blank save on Diego Lopez in the 60th minute, and then in the 97th minute, he had another great save. That one was from distance. Any thoughts on Lunin, Sid?
XG was not like it was closer to one than it was to 1.5, I believe. Let me double check. I think it was around 1.13. So I know the first two chances you couldn't do too much, especially the misplaced pass from, was that Rudiger who misplaced the pass in the
for on second? Which chance?
The second goal Valencia scored.
No. Okay, so we can talk about that now. So what happened? Oh, the second. No, that was Carvajal, the second one.
Oh, right. Yeah. So both goals coming from Carvajal's side. Valencia had 1.14 expected goals, and I guess they were at around 0.5. Yes, that first Lunin save was 0.5. Markstats doesn't register the last one. But he was good. That second save is a massive save for sure. It's half an expected goal that he saved us. Like, they were at 2-0 at 0.6. It could have easily
this
been
one here, Diego Lopez. This one, 0.37.
Yeah.
This is Yaremchuk's and Hugo Duro's goals. Yeah, this was a huge one. The other one that he saved was not a big XG chance, but it was a good shot. I think it was Peter. Was it Peter that one, or was it maybe it was, must have been Peter. The big chance, Bellingham. This was the crazy save of Mamardashvili. This would have been an incredible goal had he pulled this one off. Vinny's goal, and then this one here. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's funny. Lucas was asking for Cristiano in the first half, and then Vinny came in the second half and answered the call with iconic, very Cristiano-esque goal.
A little bit underrated that his header, he actually got a really good leap on that.
Yeah, that was like very Ronaldo.
Yeah, it was. It reminded me of Ronaldo's leap, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's really funny that like Lucas was like, Ronaldo would answer the call, and like, this dude's very Ronaldo in the way he impacts his games at times. It's just, you know, dribbling from the left. It's like 11-12 Ronaldo sometimes. And we saw that. So yeah, great leap. I would love to see more of that. Viniciusano Ronaldo Jr., whatever you want to call him. VJR7. That was great.
Lucas says on Twitter that Real Madrid will appeal the Bellingham red card. I mean, that was pretty obvious. I'm just going to see if I can pull up Real Madrid's statement. Here we go. Maybe we can read this one together. Oh, it's actually pretty long, so we won't read it together. They go on to say, an unprecedented refereeing decision by Gil Manzano prevented Real Madrid's victory against Valencia at Mestalla, with the score at 2-2 when in the last play of the game, Brahim crossed into the area and Bellingham finished off with a header, making it 2-3. But the referee annulled the goal by signaling the end of the match when the Malaga native's pass went through the air. The league leader deserved 3 points. It goes on. It's actually much lengthier than I thought it was going to be. Some of it is just basically a match report. Now I don't know if I'm reading the match report or the statement. Anyways.
They said that the ref decided the game, right? Pretty clearly. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're upset. I mean, they make it clear where they stand. So, and yeah, I mean, I agree with Mr. Sushi. I wish that guy well. That was a bad injury.
That was brutal. I mean, it's hard to, when we have like that, when that happened, I started to almost not care about the game as much, or the football, because that looked really bad. I that was shocking. It was horrible. It was a horrible scene. I was lost for words. Just hope Diakhaby recovers as quickly and as swiftly and healthily as possible. Wishing you well, man. Anthony Tharp, and after this, we're caught up on super chats. We'll go back to things we missed. It's not football. It's La Liga. Correct. Thanks, Anthony. All right, let's go back to the game. We didn't talk about the first goal Real Madrid conceded. I saw some just kind of all over the place takes on whose fault it was. What essentially happened was, and this is a period where, again, we're struggling under Valencia's pressure. We're giving the ball away. We're making mistakes. There were times where we were working the ball around well, and we were playing it well between our back line, but we just couldn't get the ball to our attackers. We would long ball out of bounds or long ball giveaway. So Fede, I mean, in that particular sequence, there wasn't that much pressure, but Fede does the long diagonal switch, which he's pretty reliable at usually. He gives it away. And I think in that moment, he didn't register that he leaves his man at the far post, because Carvajal wasn't there, because Carvajal was marking someone centrally in that moment. So Fede comes over and leaves that man open. Vinicius on the other side gives the ball away. The cross comes in, and I think Fede and Carvajal should have registered sooner what was happening well before Vinicius lost the ball. So neither of them closed down. I don't know who it was actually who mishit that shot. But either way, the ball falls to Hugo Duro, who is obviously still unmarked there. And I think, again, if Fede and Carvajal had communicated and registered what was happening, Carvajal could have taken the wide man and Fede could have taken Hugo Duro and you could have prevented it. So that's the first goal. We already talked about the second goal. That was just a freak Carvajal mistake. Yeah, what else did you want to talk about that we missed?
We got over that other teams have tough schedules. We're still winning the league, so that's one of the only reasons we're not upset. That's not football, it's La Liga. That's funny. I mean, there's so many more quotes like you could think of. I mean, it's not football, it's La Liga. That's a really fun. That's like something you'd see in a 1940s noir film. Like, it's not football, it's La Liga. I mean, hey, it's like a throwback to the, I mean, in the 60s, you'd get a lot of weird referee decisions favor the home team. In a sense, it's a throwback to an era of football that doesn't exist. But the only thing I'd add is, like, you know, once that dude decided to call, like, once the issue was what happened 5 seconds before the cross. It's when he said it's the last kick, because go watch the goal. Two or three Valencia players are like, God damn it. One of them is literally looking at the ref saying, like, screw you. And he was screaming at the ref for 5 seconds before Brahim made the cross, because the ref's an idiot because he didn't call the whistle. And so, you know, I just encourage people to remember that he made his bed 5 seconds before. He should have just called it immediately then, and that he chose to allow the cross to be plated. He chose to allow us to frame this as a robbery. He should have just been, if he was clear-minded and straight up with it, that would have been fine. You know, I sympathize a bit in that scenario that, like, fine, you could have called it, but, man, those 5 seconds, I don't know what he was doing. I don't want to say too much. I mean, we could go Mourinho, but, like, it's been a bad La Liga season. It's not just us. Like, it's everyone. So we don't need to pretend that it's, like, one team. It's not like the 2009-12 Champions League semifinals. This is a league that screwed up. I mean, it's not just our league. If you want another saving grace, we get referees yelled at in the NBA, NFL, and Premier League.
It's everywhere, for sure.
And it's bad right now in 2024. It's just bad at this moment. Like, I hate to say it, but sometimes you just can't help but wonder if, like, I think it's happening as a whole, because I think there's gambling involved, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, it's not even a question for me, honestly. I think it's 100% true. Like, I don't even think it's true, if you all get my flow. But, like, some of these guys don't make the most money. And, you know, I'm not saying this guy. I don't want to make it Gil Manzano, but, you know, you just got to understand, any game you're watching, some of these guys don't make the most money. It's really lucrative to go and change the result of a game. And if you do it consistently well, the mafia is going to keep putting more on you, and you become like a leveraged asset. It's like Tim Donaghy in the NBA. So this stuff happens, you know, and it's not been rooted out of our game. So it's not the last time we're going to see this season. I just hope it's the last time it happens against us in such a manner. And I hope we don't have any more controversial decisions for the rest of the season. Please let. But it's March 2nd. What are we hoping for? It's March 2nd.
That is not going to happen for sure. So it's funny. It's not funny. It's actually depressing. On the members only call we did a few days ago, me and Lucas were talking about the fact that there's right now, and this has been known for a long time, but just it should be a way bigger deal than it is. If Barcelona don't qualify for the Spanish Super Cup, the federation has to pay Saudi $5 million, which is a massive conflict of interest. Massive. And we heard so much about when Girona's goal was disallowed against Real Sociedad in shocking fashion a few weeks ago. You heard a lot of, like, oh, Real Madrid are going to win the title. They're not letting Girona win this thing. There's no way. I'm like, no. I don't think you understand what's happening here. If La Liga doesn't get Barca the second, they have to pay Saudi, because they promised Barca will be there. This should be a huge story. Wait. This should be a way bigger story than it is.
I'm tweeting it right now. Repeat that. So La Liga promised to pay Saudi how much?
Look, just put it this way. You can tweet it however you want, but I'll just explain it to you. So basically, the whole pitch and why the Super Cup is attractive for Saudi is because you're probably going to get a Clásico, Worst case scenario, they're kept apart in the bracket. They don't meet each other. You get Real Madrid in Barcelona on Saudi soil. Saudi wants those two teams there. So if Barca don't qualify next year, the part of the contract is that the federation has to pay Saudi a penalty that Real Madrid and Barcelona are not showing up. So if Barcelona don't show up next year, La Liga, the federation has to pay Saudi. So just imagine what loopholes you have to go through to get this team to second place, because they're already out of Copa del Rey. And that's what I think got lost in this whole thing. Like, oh, Girona can't win the league. Like, no. Barcelona have to leapfrog Girona.
Is it the Copa finalists and the top two in La Liga, or top three in La Liga and Copa winner?
I believe it's top two in each.
Oh, my God. No way.
Again, it should be a bigger story than it is my point. And it's not, for whatever reason. Nikolai Mihatovic and Daniel Smith, thank you so much for the donations. You guys are awesome. Back to the game. What were your thoughts on the midfield? So we had Cruz, Camavinga, and Fede. I mean, and going back all the way to before the game, when I saw the starting lineup and I saw that Nacho was coming in off the bench, and they said he had a muscular discomfort. That's why he didn't start. Obviously, he did eventually come on and chew him, and he shifted to midfield. That was around minute 85. I thought one of the added benefits, apart from Tchouameni probably being in better, I mean, he is in better form than Nacho. He's probably the better center back partner for Rudiger right now. The added benefit is that you get to squeeze in Camavinga, Fede, and Cruz on the field. So I'm just curious to know what you thought going all the way back, but also just the performances of the midfield in general.
I mean, we had some giveaways. We just struggled with Valencia's press. You got to credit their press. I think if Tchouameni started at the six, we're more comfortable against the very best presses with Tchouameni more than Camavinga. I maintain that to this day. Even his best games, Camavinga relies a touch more on the dribble for me. Whereas I think that position where Tchouameni plays, I just think it requires a little more minimalism. And Tchouameni is just more oriented to that style. Camavinga is like just someone who you want to let him run. You want to let him run. And it's harder to let him do that at the six. Still has been better this season. He's made huge strides. But against the best presses, it's not the same. I think we can say that. And, you know, it was tricky to get out of their press. Like, I will say it felt like we were second to everything in the first half. And that changed in the second half. Like, the goal obviously shifted momentum. But just thought everyone was just touch low to 50-50s. I thought Tchouameni was a phenomenal center back. I thought Rudiger was really solid overall. Like, did his job. Ferland didn't give the ball away too much. Sometimes, like, I thought he could be a little more, like, that he could fly more, you know, let his wings out. But it's Ferland. He's not crazy attacking fullback, and he did his job. I thought everyone was solid. You know, Rodrigo and even, like, Vinny and Bellingham were a bit isolated in the first half, all three of them. Second, Vinny came alive. Jude came alive. Oh, man, that Jude chance at the start of the second half. I thought he had that. That was regression to the mean, folks. You want to see what regression to the mean means? It means you scored, like, double your XG, and then, boom, point blank that you'd never miss. Jude missed. You'd never expect him to miss that. Guess what? You do. It's the nature of football. This is why expected goals has some credence. I'm not saying it has none. But, like, you do want to give Jude time before you say he's, like, a 2-to-1 ratio. Like, before you say he's Messi. He may outperform many seasons. May have seasons where he's 1-to-1. But, you know, just pointing out, that was a big chance. And it was shocking that the goalie saved it, Valencia's goalie. I was surprised. But I thought, like, it's really, like, a game of before we, like, kind of cooled off Valencia's press and after. Before, you could argue, like, a lot of our players were okay. And no one was great, I thought. Like, Cruz was solid, not bad. But even Cruz misplaced passes, which was crazy. I was shocked how good Valencia's press was. But I wasn't shocked at the fact that they challenged us. They did this to us last time. We pointed out Lunin went even better last time. Those chances that became 2-0, Lunin saved them last game that we played them. That was the main difference, if you really want to go there.
I said this before the game, too. Like, you know, being shocked about Valencia's press or even them raising their game against us. Before the game, I said it, like, this is not a great team. I don't even know if they're probably average in La Liga if you consider everything, but their offense is actually one of the worst offenses in the entire league. Their expected goals is like third or fourth worst. They don't create many chances. But in a game like this, you almost throw out all of that kind of analysis out the window because they've circled this game. This is a Champions League final for them. They're not getting relegated. They're not getting into Europe, probably. They're just kind of in this limbo world where this is their probably most exciting game left. They're up for it. And obviously what happened, the ugly scenes of last season loom over it. They're going to just, it's not going to necessarily be about how good they are. It's going to be something different. They're going something else will motivate them today. Just going back to Tchouaméni, I like Tchouaméni's performance. He had three really incredible challenges in the second half. One on Hugo Duro in the 65th minute. The one where they were crying for a penalty was clean as a whistle. In the 82nd minute, a massive challenge in the box. And in the 95th minute, a huge interception. So I thought Tchouaméni had some incredible moments in this game. Thoughts on Brahim off the bench, or maybe the subs in general. So 63rd minute, Brahim and Modric come in for Rodrigo and Cruz. 73rd minute, Fran Garcia and Joselu come in for Camavinga and Mendy. What did you think of the subs?
All right, so Matt made a good counterpoint that he didn't love Fran. And to be honest, at that point in the game, even if I was going to remember, it's hard after what happened. I mean, Ferland added Brahim, increased our chances of scoring as a passer by the most, along with Ferland. And Fran doesn't show up on that list at all. Then checking the other list for as a receiver, Fran doesn't show up on that list either. So a big W for Matt as far as just what he brought to the game. Yeah, I mean, outside Fran, I thought Joselu was a good fit, but I just thought Brahim and Modric were phenomenal. Modric just came on very snappy, quick touches, Valencia tiring, and they were just too slow for him cognitively. Made a lot of good moves when I thought they could get to him. Just a change of pace from Cruz sped it up, and Brahim was just great. He added our most chances. He added the most value as a passer, it says, from coming on, more than Ferland, more than Cruz, which is kind of crazy. Like, that was only a 30-minute cameo, and I loved it, you know, just suits my Brahim agenda. I mean, even that last cross, go look at it, like, you're not exactly like he takes a second, but it's pausa. It's not like wasting time or like taking a second to take stock. It's like pausa. He kind of like gives the defender a second to think he's going to do something. And then boom, weak foot cross. That's why it was wide open. Like that thing he does where he takes a dribble or two and boom, releases it. Like the release, you never see the angle. The angle's not on. He just dribbles it wherever he wants. Or it looks like the angles have been cut off. And then he gets a release that you just don't expect. And, thought we saw more of that from Brahim. My favorite impact sub of all time. Morata and Asensio were great, don't get me wrong, with the goals, but like an impact sub who like cooks on like in getting the ball forward like that, that's crazy.
Well, immediately when he came on, he was getting hounded by 3-4 players. So he was trying to dribble out of pressure twice when he came on. Couldn't really do it. Another sequence where I think like he didn't have the best touch, but to be fair to him, in all three of those like first touches he had, he was getting hounded and there were not many options to deal with, if any. He started to grow into it more and more. That shot he had from outside the box where he has very little time or space to think about it and get the shot off, and he nearly curls it with the right foot and it goes just outside the post. As always, he works really hard defensively. He always puts in a defensive shift. He presses well. He tracks well. And he is a very positive vertical presence. Frenetic, good energy. It's interesting to know. I'm just looking at his touches. So he comes on for Rodrigo in the 62nd minute. And he has 10 less touches overall than Rodrigo. It was a notable presence cameo, and it usually is from Brahim.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I said this before. I think Joselu could have come on sooner. I think even though he didn't score the Jude goal, which should have stood, he obviously helps create space. We started, like, our crosses actually were meaningful and impactful in the second half when Joselu came on, because with the presence there, it just looked different. Couple quick super chats. Daniel Smith, La Liga refs are the highest paid in Europe. No excuse for how bad they are. The thing is, I don't really know how to solve this issue. Everyone knows the rules. The application of the rules seem wildly out of whack. Call it corruption, call it incompetence. I just don't know how you fix it. But it needs to be fixed somehow. Willard, thank you so much for the donation. Also, he says, this is out of context, but Javi Guerra is a tank. He was involved in the first goal and settled multiple dangerous balls in the first half. Just a note on Javi Guerra. Shout out to Fede Valverde. In the 67th minute, massive challenge on Javi Guerra. Last man back, flying slide tackle, clean as a whistle. All right, Sid, why don't we do a quick note dump? Go through your notes and tell me what we missed.
Tchouaméni was insane. Like he was incredible.
Yeah, I liked him.
That's it, man. I'm going to go. I'm watching another note. I had Dune 2 planned after this game because I was going to rewatch it because I knew.
You're going to go see Dune right now?
In like an hour, but I'm going to leave. I've got to leave in like 5, 10, go eat.
We're wrapping it up anyway.
Yeah.
I've also been fasting all day. I'm starving.
I'm glad I had it planned. I just want to say I knew Valencia on the calendar. I knew I needed some plan B and I needed something in the backup just in case. But I can't believe it happened like this. You know, I thought like I was okay with the 2-0. I'm like, all right, I got Dune to look forward to it. 2-0 down. I'm like, all right, I got Dune to look forward to it. Then it's like remontada incoming. And I'm like, all right, I got this to look forward to. Like, I got Real Madrid to look forward to. And that happened. So, you know, it's a shame, but I'm glad I have something to take my mind off this. I encourage you all to go play a video game, watch a movie, do something else. Don't think about the referees. Don't go on Twitter. Like, forget about it. You know, if you go back on social media right now, you're sorry. I don't know what to say. It's toxic. And, like, I'm sure even a few days later, we'll be like, all right, like, he called the last whistle. And, like, you know, if it went in, just consider that if it did go in, Valencia would have protested as well. Because, like, there were 5 seconds when the ref pretty much implied, I'm blowing the whistle. And he didn't, which is why Brahim played the ball in. And so, you know, whatever. It's like there have been rare instances of a referee doing something remotely like this. I'm not saying it's defendable. I'm just saying, like, people are going to push back. Don't go on social media and just become a keyboard warrior. Nothing will come of it. Yes, Real Madrid internally, we're going to see a lot of likes. Like, people are going to like and retweet each other, the hatred. But it's not healthy. I'm telling you, it's not healthy to think about your own team after a robbery or a perceived robbery. It's just not, it's not good. Like, do something else.
It's actually great advice. On days like this, you want to stay sane by, if you're able to, spend time with your loved ones, do something that makes you happy. And I think Sid's advice is great. Just try to find other things. This is out of your control. I know it hurts, but it's out of your control. And we keep fighting the fight, man. Shocking scenes. If you guys joined in late, our dumbfounded reaction to everything that happened with the referee was basically in the first 30 minutes of this podcast.
Negreira!
I couldn't believe it, man. I still, going back to this beginning of the podcast, we should be talking about an epic remontada. Two big balls, goals from Vinicius Jr. Yet another Jude Bellingham game winner. The 100th he scored this season. We should be talking about it in the summertime. Like, hey, man, remember that epic comeback in Mestalla? Instead, the referee did something unprecedented.
Negreira League. is the two words that popped in my head, and I'm going to go to bed with those. I'm going to, my little brother's a Barca fan. I'm going to go and let him know what it's about. And don't ever let a Barca fan tell you about the referees. Don't ever let any Xavi or Laporta stand bully you. I mean, not that you guys do. I know you all aren't those types, but we're nuanced, and we know Real Madrid have seen decisions go towards us before, but that this is, you know, this is beyond any, like, I don't even know what to say. Like, whatever, man. Just Negreira League. That's what I meant. Negreira League. I just screamed Negreira. Like, that's what I did. I wasn't even like fist of threat. I'm like, I just screamed Negreira. Any of you screamed Negreira in the chat?
Oh man.
I mean, hey, at least, like, to be honest, at least the opposition fans, like, they can celebrate the 2 points drop, but they know, we know what they saw. They went from 2-0 high to like they can be snide in that, but we'll beat Leipzig. We'll swat little Bundesliga Leipzig aside. And yeah, we don't have too many tough fixtures. We play Sociedad. We play against Bilbao, and Barcelona visit the Bernabeu. We play Sociedad and Villarreal away.
Those are tough games.
Yes, but I believe all the other teams have to pretty much play those four type of tough games, plus Atleti, Girona, and Barcelona all have to play each other twice. So they have one more anyways. And they all play each other towards the end. So, like, actually, we have a cushion even going into the final match day. I believe, is the final match day not Atletico Girona? Let me just confirm this.
I think it was Real Betis. I remember that because we asked to move it for the Taylor Swift concert.
So, Sociedad hosts Atleti. Barcelona plays Sevilla. So Sergio Ramos plays against Barcelona on the last match day. So, you know, captain has us if we need anything. And then, fine, Girona play Granada. But match day 37, we go away to Villarreal. And, oh, damn, I guess it happens before that.
What?
I guess it all happens before match day 36. They crunch it up. Oh, man. So it happens sooner. Sooner than later, we're going to see all these teams. Girona Barca is on May 5th. So we're going to see that happen. And then we're going to see, at some point, we get Girona Atletico Madrid too. When does Girona Atletico Madrid happen?
You said you're making my head spin right now.
All I know is they have to play each other. The schedule is designed where I think it's just a little more backloaded for other teams. And we're at home for all but two games. So we'll beat Barcelona in the Clásico. We'll beat them. It's Xavi's Barca. They're not that scary anymore.
So just a quick note, Sid. And I'm going to the Leipzig second leg. So Tuesday, we're doing a preview podcast for the Leipzig game. That'll be on, I'm not sure what time yet. It'll depend what time the press conferences are. Hopefully live from Valdebebas, we'll do a preview podcast for the Leipzig game. And then we'll probably do another pregame show from the Bernabeu before kickoff on Wednesday. And then the postgame show, we'll be back to. All of that is for free. And then on Thursday, we'll probably do El Día Después for members. So keep it locked, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys don't get too down on this really, really horrific night, which we've discussed. Have a great night. Sid, enjoy Dune. Thank you and peace out.
Dude, that soundtrack is a banger, man.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.